Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
Gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
The last several months, I've been doing several different studies, and one of the studies I've been doing is on the life of Elijah, specifically his prayer life, because it's the person that the New Testament refers to as this is the model for New Testament believers, is the prayer life of Elijah. And what I want to do today is I want to read a story from one of his prayer encounters. And then I'm going to change our direction on probably one of the most misunderstood concepts in Scripture when it comes to waiting on the Lord. So here in 1 Kings 18:44. Now what's going on, just get you up to the passage before I start reading. Elijah has now prayed for 3 years and 3 years and 6 months and it's not rained. And now it's time for the rain to come back. And now he's going to pray for that to happen. And he says to his servant, "Go up now and look towards the sea." So he went and he looked towards it and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Well, go back 7 times. It came about at the 7th time that he said, "Behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming from the sea." And he said, "Go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariots and go down so that the heavy showers do not stop you." Now, here, we're just given the outlay of him doing this, but he's now saying, as you read the story, it talks about him actually getting on his knees and putting his head between his knees and praying until this experience happens. And what we're actually seeing here, being modeled by Elijah, is a concept that I want to develop with you this morning. It's the concept of perseverance. So if you guys will go with me to Romans chapter 2, verse 7, let's look at how the Bible talks about this. By the way, if you guys are like I am, when I look at words and I don't do studies of them, I find myself always being tripped up. I think I know what a word means, and then when I go study it, I realize I have no concept what the word means, and I had my own ideas, and that's not what the Scripture is talking about. And when I came to this word perseverance, I was actually floored by it. It actually so awakened something in me that I thought, wow, I'm going to actually be teaching on perseverance a lot in the future just from studying this concept, because it's so powerful for you in your walk with Jesus to understand how he looks at perseverance. So it says this in Romans chapter 2, verse 7, "To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." So for those who by perseverance. Now, let's give some contrast here. Perseverance, obviously, is a different word. It's not the same concept for suffering. So suffering and perseverance are not the same word. They're not the same concept. They don't even cover the same thing. Several years ago, I was here with you guys, and I kind of just went through all biblical suffering. I don't know if you guys remember that. I just kind of went through it all. Because there's a lot of concepts about suffering that are not biblical, and we say God has made me suffer when God didn't call us to suffer in an arena. So suffering was caused by the fall of man. The reason we suffer is because man has rebelled against the Lord. And then after man has rebelled, when you and I come to Christ, we suffer to put up with people so that they can come to the Lord. And that's the form of suffering that we have to go to in Christ. Well, perseverance has nothing to do with those concepts. So what I want to do is I want to start exploring with you what perseverance means. So, perseverance. Two Greek words that come together. Hypomeno. Hypomeno. I'm sure that means a lot to everybody, so let's start working through it. The word hypo is interesting because the concept in the Greek is you're under something. And so when it's used in the idea of perseverance, It doesn't mean just to be under like a cloud or under a person's boot or something like that. It actually means to be under authority. So, in fact, the way that the word is used in the original language, it actually means that it would be best to illustrate it as you're under a waterfall. Now, isn't that a great picture? It actually means that there's when you've been called to persevere, you're under a waterfall of what? God's grace. And it's soaking you. Now, even before I develop the second word, I want you to think about something with me here. If God has called you to wait for something and to persevere, He's not called you to grit your teeth and just hope it gets better. He's provided the grace of God to you and I and has now told us, if I'm going to make you wait on me fulfilling something I've told you, I'm not going to abandon you there. I'm going to put you under a waterfall of grace. So it's continually flowing to you and I the grace of God to persevere. It's not something we have to perfect in our life. It's something we have to receive, just like if we stand under a waterfall. We don't control the water, we just let it consume us. And that's the idea of this word hippo. It not only carries the idea of being like under a waterfall, it has the idea of being under authority also. And so it actually means that if God has told you something like, I'm going to do this in your life, or you're going to pray for that, His authority is over that. So it now means that God is intimately involved with you and I when we have to persevere in a situation. It means that He is reigning over us, and it actually means He's in control of the whole situation. Now, haven't you guys looked at the word perseverance and you think, oh no, I've got to wait for a long period of time. What's the purpose of that? Well, as we're looking through this word, and now as I'm going to start talking to you, it makes sense to me. There's an incredible purpose to this. I don't know if you guys are like this, but I've been trained in America. And in America, when someone promised me something, I want to get it as fast as possible. I'm frustrated with Amazon when they don't do two-day shipping. And I'm upset when I have to wait more than 30 seconds when I go through a drive-through window. We've been trained to get things immediately. And yet, here the Bible is coming to you and I, and it's giving us illustrations, and then it's beginning to talk to us, and it's saying, this waiting that God has called you and I to do is not of vain ideas, or it has value to it. And if you recognize the value of it, you'll start enjoying the process of persevering, and you'll actually begin to enjoy it more than reaching the end that God has taken you to. There was a guy named Graham Cook. I was at a leadership conference with him in Rochester, Minnesota, and he said, most people really don't understand the reason for tests or trials or perseverance. When you read it through Scripture, the purpose of them is so that grace will be released in you. And so most of us talk about our trials and we just lament and look at each other and think, what do I have to do to get through this? And he said, and if you understand the purpose of these things, you'll actually ask God to increase it. Because the more God calls you to persevere in a situation, the more grace that's released to you, the more of God's authority is upon you, the more you're transformed by going through it. It is not a wasted experience, and yet culturally, you and I have been taught to get out of it as fast as possible. The second word that's used here is this meno, and it actually means to remain, but it's actually interesting. It means remained, and this is kind of funny. It means to remain with expectancy. So we have the first concept that God's authority and like a waterfall of grace is pouring upon me, and now I'm standing under it. This is what the idea of perseverance means. And now it's saying I'm to remain there until I soak up enough grace to catapult me into the next breakthrough. Isn't that an interesting concept? God actually says the purpose of persevering is to soak up enough of God's grace and power and authority to break through. And so this whole idea, why do I have to wait? It's ordained by God to transform you and I. And so now it's actually saying that the whole idea of perseverance is actually glorious to you and I as believers, because we discover something of the grace of God that we cannot by always just asking for things and getting it immediately. It's saying Christ is being formed in you. This word for remaining and expectancy, it carries the concept of accumulating something. So how many of you have ever prayed for something, and as you do it, you realize that not only are you being changed by the situation, it's like you're accumulating something of the Spirit of the Lord as you're going through it. You could tell more power, more authority, more of God's presence. Something is changing in this situation, and that's why the Bible is saying you need to understand this concept of persevering, because it's the best thing that God has ever called you and I to do. It also gets us in touch with the eternal move of God inside our souls as individuals, instead of what is going on around us in the culture that we live in, because our culture has no concept of this out of Christ. They believe perseverance is a waste of time. Christ is saying it's ordained by me to actually increase my presence in your life. When I was first moved to Kansas City, and this will be, which is really interesting, many years ago, Chris and I, the first time we ever met each other was here in Woodland Park. And we were sitting down at a restaurant, and I'm like, well, where'd you grow up? Here in Woodland Park. What churches did you go to? And he's, oh, I went to this Vineyard Church in Colorado Springs. And I'm like, really? What's the pastor's name? And he tells me the pastor's name, and I'm like, my goodness, I went to that church. When did you go there? And he tells me, and I'm like, well, when did you leave? And he tells me he leaves the week before I show up. So the week before I show up, Chris went to the same church that I went to. Never met him. Then I moved to Kansas City in 1990. Chris moves to Kansas City in 1990. The church we went to was so big, I sat on the one side of the sanctuary, he sat on the other side, and we never ran into each other the whole 5 years he was there. Now, why am I telling you this? Oh, I thought it was cute. No. The reason I'm doing this is because back in 1990, when I first moved to Kansas City, I was under an intense learning curve by the Lord very specifically. If you've ever been here and I've covered standing on the promises of God, I've always go through a story of God having me learn to pray for a pair of tennis shoes. Do you guys remember that? Okay, a couple of you do. If you haven't heard it, maybe you can go back and hear the podcast of it. But once that started in my life, I thought, well, we're done with that. Thank the Lord. I don't want to do that anymore. That was exhausting. I moved to Kansas City, and one day in prayer, I'm just kind of, I hate to say it like this, but I'm kind of just minding my own business and telling God how I think he ought to run the universe. And the Lord interrupts my prayer time and starts having this interesting conversation with me. He says, so, now, Brian, I want you to believe me for a washer and dryer. And I remember thinking, why does God care anything about this stuff? Now, just to give you some context, I had two little kids, and Kelly was carrying Rebecca, my youngest. And every week, we would have to get this little red wagon and put all our dirty clothes in it and walk with our two kids to the laundromat to do our laundry for a day. Doesn't that sound incredibly adorable and cute? It's kind of hard to do that in the winter time, but you guys get the idea. And so God says to me, I want you to believe me for a washer and dryer. Now, if you don't know this about me, when God starts having these conversations with me, I get very technical and obsessive about it, which I wish I wouldn't. But I'm like, a washer and dryer. And the Lord said, I want you to go and find a washer and dryer you want, and I want you to start praying for it. So, are you guys like this? If God says, hey, I want to bless you, you always try to find something that's just about to break down and then say, that's what I want, Lord. Because I'm not worthy for something good, so I'll just take whatever. And so, the Lord even encouraged me, pick something that you actually want. Now, you guys have to understand, when God's having this conversation with me, I'm like, I don't even know if this is the Lord. But I picked out a washer and dryer, and it was a Kenmore washer and dryer. So, now, Every day, I'm having to pray about this. Now, because of the tennis shoe thing, I knew, okay, so this is going to be this thing going on back and forth. I'm going to wonder if it's the Lord halfway through it. I'm going to get frustrated because it takes more than a week to happen. And I'm going to have to learn to trust God even though my emotions say it's probably not going to happen. Do you guys ever get in those situations? So as I'm beginning to pray for this washer and dryer, and I'm naming the model specifically, and I'm thanking God for it, sometimes as I would thank him for it, I would even hear myself say, thank you, Lord, for this washer and dryer, and thinking, I have no faith for what I just said. It's like it was just words coming out of my mouth. And yet in the process of persevering and sticking with it, I could see a building up of the presence of the Lord. And about, let's see, I think it took 3 months to pray for this thing. I think about a month and a half into it, I went from just, I don't think this is going to happen, or it's hard to believe God for this stuff, to where now God had changed something in me. I'd been under the waterfall of grace for a season, and now I started looking forward to praying for it. In fact, God had got me to such the point that every day I was expecting, I don't know how, but a Kenmore washer and dryer was going to appear in our house. That's how God had changed me through this process. Now, I do need to put some qualifiers on this. When God had me go through this season of learning this stuff, he always told me never to tell anybody and don't take money and try to pay for it. He wanted to meet the need and show me he could move the hearts of people any way that he wanted to. So I never told Kelly about these prayers. I just prayed them. And I'm praying and I'm like, I mean, do you guys know how hard it is to try to get God to fulfill things when you can't tell other people? So I'm praying. And at the time, I used to work, if you guys don't know this, my background is Nazarene. I was trained as a Nazarene minister. And when I moved to Kansas City, I went and worked for the Nazarene headquarters. So here I am. I've left the Nazarene denomination, but I'm working at their headquarters. That was a bizarre season. And my job was actually to get in a car that had a phone in the car, and I had to go to the Kansas City airport all day long and pick up general superintendents and directors and missionaries and take them down to the headquarters in Kansas City. Some of these jobs. And so that's where I spent most of my time praying, asking God, thanking the Lord, doing it. Gosh, I wonder if that's the Lord. And getting kind of excited, well, something's going to happen at a certain point. And I get a phone call. And they had told me, look, Brian, you can't use this phone for your own personal stuff. You can't get on there and just visit with your wife. We need it open all day. And so Kelly and I had talked about that. And this is way before cell phones, so this will give you a context. One day, Kelly calls me, and so we already knew she wasn't going to call me to visit. She only is supposed to call me if we have an emergency. So now Kelly's calling me on the phone, and I'm picking it up. Okay, and when there's something wrong in my household, I don't usually start off by, well, how's your day going, or anything like that. If I think it's an emergency, the first thing I say is, what's wrong? So I'm asking Kelly, what is wrong? She goes, well, nothing's wrong. And I'm like, are you sure? Are the kids okay? Is your pregnancy? Everything's okay. And I'm like, okay, well, then why are you calling me? And she goes, well, I don't know how to describe this to you, but a really weird thing's happening in front of our house right now. I said, well, what's that? She says, there's this Sears truck, and he just had me sign for a delivery. And I said, really? What's in the truck? And she goes, a washer and dryer. Okay, now, you're supposed to be excited that Jesus does this kind of stuff? Instead of being like that, here's how what I said to her, which is not the best response. What's the make and model number? Now, the reason I did that is because I picked a specific make and model. And so she told it to me. When God does this kind of stuff and you go through the seasons of persevering, when God does it, I don't know if you guys are like I am, I don't know how to respond to it. It just sounds too good to be true. I'm actually sitting there holding the phone while my wife's talking to me, telling me this, and I'm trying to figure out, how do I process understanding this stuff? Because, one, I didn't know Jesus was into giving me free stuff. And two, I didn't realize prayer had this kind of dynamic to it. I just thought you pray and God feels sorry for you and says, here, I'll give you comfort, but that's about the extent of prayer. And so when the Lord's saying, hey, I actually want to provide these things through prayer, I just didn't have a context for it. And I don't know if you guys are like this. If God does this kind of stuff, sorry to go off on a tangent here, how does he do this? So she tells me that, and I'm like, well, okay. And then I said, well, does it say who sent it to us? Because I wanted to know who did this. And she asked the guy, and the guy said, well, it's anonymous, so we don't know who it is. Isn't that clever? So I come home, and I walk in the back room where the washer and dryer are hooked up, and I just kind of stand there and look at them for a little bit, and I'm realizing that as I'm looking at this washer and dryer, my whole life has changed. Every time I throw a load of laundry, not only is it nice that I don't have to go down to the laundromat, but every time I throw a load of laundry in the washer or the dryer, I'm being reminded of something about God. That washer and dryer lasted 28 years before we got rid of that thing. I'm telling you, I tried everything I could at a certain point to make that thing mess up so we could get a new one, and it wouldn't do it. And I'm telling you, it got so to the point where, and this is going to sound kind of unusual, this is a teaching for another day about memorials to the Lord. Every time I'd go down and help with the laundry, I would always find myself in the laundry room just staring at the washer and dryer. And this thing would happen inside my soul where I'd relive that whole experience. Now, as we're working through this and talking about this, I want you guys to consider something with me. Each one of you are in some season of persevering right now. Each one of you are trying to say, I'm waiting on the Lord for this. God has kind of spoken to me about this thing. What is the process that God has taken me through? Well, the process is already initiated. If God has called you to persevere, he's with you in it. And if he's with you in it, there's a flow of the grace of God that's available to you that you cannot experience unless you're in a season of perseverance. Not only that, your expectation in your own soul begins to be enlarged. And so the very thing that seems like, well, I can't believe I have to do this, now it's like, I can't believe I'm allowed to do this. The perspective of it changes. And all of a sudden, you and I get to go on this adventure. And every time I study these things in the depths of God's word, I'm just amazed on how what Christ has provided for us in this stuff. This walk with him is constantly interactive, powerful, and a major expression of love, if I could see it. I don't know if you guys are where I'm at, but as I'm starting to study this word and now I'm looking at it being used in different passages, these passages are coming alive to me and I'm realizing this thing about perseverance and the way the Bible uses it is actually the call to the blessing of God in my life, and I'm not recognizing it. So I'm trying to get out of it instead of enjoying it. Now, that's the hardest thing to say to a group of Christians, isn't it? Enjoy waiting. It's the best thing that God could take you through. Now, would you guys join me in prayer? Let's pray. So I don't even have to ask and see if anyone has their hands raised. I know that each one of us is called into our own season to persevere. So, Lord, as you are meeting us there, increase your glory over us. Help us perceive what you are doing in the midst of us. And as the world tries to form us to be frustrated with this process, I ask that an awakening of joy would come out of this. You've brought us here to experience the joy of you, Lord. And I ask that any weariness that has come from perseverance, that it would be cleansed off of us right now and a refreshing of our presence, of your presence would come. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.